And now that we're recording, we just make sure that the editor, what's his name again?
Josh.
Josh, we love you.
Josh, you're amazing. Thanks for making us sound great.
Josh.
Smart. I know I may not give you much to work with, but please try to make me sound smart.
There's only so much audio filters can do, baby.
Oh.
We don't have a filter for smart.
And we're off to a great beginning. Let's talk about couples.
Let's talk about relationships.
We're going to have a chat later this afternoon.
Yeah. Earlier today, you hurt my feelings when you said, let's go through our five relationship principles.
I believe the last word we established is that I'm generally an idiot. So we could just come back to the last word principle.
That is not true.
I see how you guys have been happily married for 20 years.
Sarcasm. Aww. Sarcasm is the order of the day.
Every day.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families. This is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
We know this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Founder. Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
So for those of us who aren't sure what's happening as you listen to this conversation, I am here with Kay and Sean Hesketh, and we are going to chat about the couples retreat that we all participated in a couple weeks ago. So this was the first live in-person official Zen Founder event, and Rob and I hosted along with Corey and Lindsay Miller and Sean and Kay Hesketh. And so Sean and Kay and I are doing a little bit of a postmortem, just sort of talking through what we learned, what we loved about doing this event. And hopefully there'll be some good insights for y'all about kind of relationships and how to reboot and reconnect through an event like a retreat. So Sean and Kay, when I asked you to come and sort of help me host this couples retreat, did you have any fears or apprehensions?
I think not. I mean, we were really excited, first of all, to have the opportunity. And so thank you again for inviting us. But yeah, I mean, we were kind of eager to have the opportunity to talk and chat with some other couples about what's working for them, what's not working for them, you know, and 22 years we've been married. We've done some things the wrong way, learned a lot of things the hard way, right? So I think anytime we have an opportunity to sit down together, get intentional, you know, about our relationships and kind of just chat honestly and openly and kind of create that safe space to talk about these things, then I think it's a win. So no, we jumped at the opportunity to be there, and it was a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, I think actually this is one of our favorite topics for some reason, and I'm not sure why, but I feel like we talk about how we couple a lot and how we relationship a lot. And so there's been a lot of things that we feel like we've learned over the years that we love being able to impart to other people, but also just love hearing other people's point of views and how they do stuff right. So,
yeah, it was a really neat gathering of, including the host couples, there were 12 couples, so 24 people. And I think people really came with the mindset kind of like you describe, like we want to get together and think intentionally about the well-being of our relationship, think about our relationship in the context of what it's like to run a business, which is kind of a unique life story. And so, yeah, we just had lots of conversations about how do you make sure you're doing well as a couple? Were there particular highlights for you when you think about the kinds of conversations that we had at the retreat?
Well, I think what I liked the most was the diversity of people that were there. So I had some really unique conversations with people that I wouldn't normally be around in my day-to-day world. So, you know, there was owners of companies that are a little bit larger than Sean's are. There were, you know, just people from all different walks of life. And to me, that was kind of interesting to me. I tend to live in my own little bubble because we homeschool and we work from home. There's a little bit of bubble that happens for me specifically. And so I kind of enjoyed being outside of that normal bubble.
Yeah. And I think it was the right number of people too, right? I mean, it was the perfect kind of size group where we had, you know, a dozen couples, including the host couples. I think any bigger than that, and you have a hard time kind of connecting. But the way that we were able to split off into groups of, you know, four couples in each group, it was just the right size to have that kind of dynamic and be able to have those conversations. And so, you know, definitely the small groups to me were a bonus for sure. It was times where we had to take the conversation that we started from the kind of topic that was just talked about in kind of the group session and then break it apart together into, so how does this work for you? What do you think you're doing well? And I really kind of just appreciated the size dynamic, first of all, was easy to be relational, but it also allowed us to kind of deep dive into what was working and what wasn't.
Yeah, we actually planned for 18 couples. And from a relational perspective, I'm really glad with where we landed. I think the 12 couples was really, like you say, a nice size. I think I had pretty meaningful interactions with every individual who came. And that probably wouldn't have happened had it been any bigger. But there was just time to sit at a meal with different people and make a deeper connection, which I personally really enjoyed.
During the actual kind of presentations, I really enjoyed Corey and Lindsay talking about one of their strategies for dealing with conflict is that they have to dance it out. Mm-hmm. I think everybody loved that advice a little bit, that you actually have to physically, you know, dance it out while you're talking about whatever the offense was or the thing that's bothering you. And that was kind of hilarious to me because I just want to see Corey dance it out, first of all. But but can't wait to kind of put that into action here, because I think, you know, when we talk about how to handle conflict and relationship, all the things that kind of happen, you know, in a relationship, what are the tools that actually work for you to help you resolve those issues? And being able to bring creative ideas like that really kind of makes it fun. And just to be able to hear from other folks that you're not alone, right? That these dynamics that we face, yes, I'm running a business and all the challenges that that brings to the table. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I come in to talk to Kay about it. She's had her own rough day with the kids. And last thing she wants to do is to unpack my drama from work during the day, right? These are the kinds of challenges that are difficult to talk about with other friends who don't run businesses, other people who aren't entrepreneurs, and they don't necessarily get those dynamics. And it certainly creates a whole nother layer of challenge, I think, for a couple. So to be in a safe space with other entrepreneurs who get you, who have had these same challenges, right? And then to hear creative tools like that, dancing it out for dealing with conflict and other things, you go, yes, like we can do this. It just felt, the overall vibe, I think, was just empowering, definitely safe, encouraging. Several people were like, yes, this resonated with me so deeply. So that's a great dynamic.
You know, there wasn't anything magic about how, like, we didn't do this. There was no magic sauce for making this work as well as it did, except that I think that people just came with a mindset of wanting to go deep and be honest and be known. So really, even in the first night, people took some steps to be vulnerable and really started the conversation off at a level of depth that just allowed us to go deeper throughout, you know, throughout the weekend. And I think in some ways, I tried to be intentional about inviting that with some of my own sharing. But you never know what people are going to do. If they're going to decide, like, yes, we're going to be vulnerable and really, really engage this, really have real conversations. Or if people are going to kind of like snowball a little bit and just be like, oh, that sounds like that's hard for you rather than own their own difficulty, right? And I was so pleased about how that went and how people decided to really engage the real topics. And in our small group, we had a really intense conversation about how people have conflict. And the admission in some of the members of the group that, like, wow, we really aren't doing that very well. We're having conflict in a really unhealthy, non-restorative, non-helpful way. And the group was able to hear that and support that and also offer suggestions from dance it out to time out to, hey, you probably need to go for a walk around the block when you get that upset. It was pretty practical, I think, and pretty meaningful because people brought their individual situation.
we had suggested some activities around kind of the grounds that people could do during the free time. And I heard some great feedback about that, that the free time was really welcome because it was time to just get alone with your significant other, go for a walk around the lake. And as you do, kind of, you know, you're having that experience of nature, but at the same time, you can kind of unpack some of the challenging stuff that we just talked about, you know, whether in a small group or during one of the sessions. And so I think that was really kind of a fun aspect because we're carving out time to be, you know, to give you time to unpack this stuff together as a couple, but also to go do something fun on the grounds. I think it's great to be able to unplug from your, you know, usual surroundings, be dropped into a new place, a different place where you've showed up just for the purpose of working on our relationship, going deeper. And it's already a win, right? By the time you show up, it's already a win. And I really appreciated the kind of the transparency that everybody brought to the table. Everyone came to play, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Everyone came, you know, with stuff they wanted to talk about and kind of dive in together. And so that really led to some deep conversations right off the bat. And I really think it's because of that safe space that was created. It's like, I can talk to these people.
Yeah. What I loved was getting to hear, you know, other people's perspectives and everything, but looking around the room while that was happening and realizing there was no judgment on anyone's faces. Like, oh my God, you do what? Like, it was very much a safe place where people felt like they could share some of their innermost thoughts and some of maybe their baggage or some of their, a little bit of their darkness and say, hey, you know, we know we're not doing it right in this particular area. And not feel like you have like the whole world looking at you and going, you did what? You know, it was, to me, that was part of the amazing aspect of the groups was just the fact that it just felt very open. It felt vulnerable, but it felt safe. Like you could share this and it was okay. And we all understand we all have our bad days.
And I think that the other piece of that that I really liked is we also saw couples thriving in different ways. So there was both space to be vulnerable and open about like what is painful, but then it was really joyful to interact with different couples from all ages. I mean, we had couples in their early 20s all the way to people in their 50s coming from all around the country, different size businesses, different backgrounds.
And all different types of relationship dynamics too, right?
Yeah, married couples, engaged couples, same-sex couples, homeschooling couples. I mean, you know, lots of different variety. And it was such a joy to watch people who really care about each other interact and share their story and make s'mores for each other and sort of play together, but also engage in deep conversation. And I came away really inspired by just the number of different ways there are to do relationships well.
Agreed. That was one of the things that kind of stood out to me is, you know, in all the years that Sean and I have been together, obviously we have our way of doing things that works for us. But it was really interesting to see other couples, and like you said, all across the spectrum, right, that are doing things differently that I'm thinking in my head, man, that wouldn't work for us at all. But you look at them and you're like, that's actually working for you. And hey, kudos to you for carving out that particular way of doing things for yourself because, you know, that's not how I would have done that, but it's working for you guys. And that's really awesome.
What do you think of yoga? The big wild card that I threw in was couples yoga. And I was like, okay, people are either going to hate me and never come to another event, or they might have a little bit of fun.
I kind of loved that in the agenda, you called it movement. I think it was movement. Uh-huh. You intentionally didn't say couples yoga. Because if you had, I'm not sure everyone would have showed up, right? And yet,
I've got kids. I know how that works.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
You're a smart lady.
And yet, to me, that was one of the highlights, to be honest. We have both done a little bit of yoga, so we're beginners, I guess. But the couples aspect of it was really cool, just moving, you know, together, moving in unison. And I thought Jamie and Greg just did a fantastic job of guiding this group through, you know, and again, talk about the diversity. You've got people who have never, ever done yoga or anything like that. And then at the end of the experience, we're going, wow, whatever that was, I need to do more of that. Mm-hmm. And I heard that from more than one person who had never done yoga before. And I personally really enjoyed it. It was a deeply connective time, right? So it was more than just sitting on a mat and stretching. And it was just being in tune with what your partner is doing, whether it's a balance exercise or just the simple twists.
Yeah.
I thought that was like deeply connective. It was a great moment.
Yeah, I was actually nervous, so I wasn't super happy with you Sunday morning. I just have to admit that right off the bat. But but yeah, by the end of it, I was like Sean was saying, it was a very connective thing. It felt more intimate than I knew it looked like from the outside. Does that make sense? I thought it was great, mm-hmm. a great thing to throw in. And on a Sunday morning when we've all stayed up two nights in a row really late and all that, I thought it was a great kind of slow way to start our morning and not just dive into the deep topics right off the bat when we all needed a little time to wake up maybe.
One of the things that felt important to me about it or doing something like that was, you know, we didn't talk a lot, at least from the main stage, so to speak, in the large group sessions, we didn't talk a lot about intimacy or sex or physical connection. And I know that that was part of some of the small group conversations, but that's also such an essential piece of what this particular coupleship relationship means. So without giving a lecture or 10 pointers for how to talk about sex with your partner, I thought that something where we're just supporting each other's bodies. So to paint the picture of this, there was just some stretches that people did together where, you know, you're leaning back to back with your partner and leaning on each other and twisting together. So you can feel each other breathing and you're moving together and stretching together. So, you know, not super intense exercise per se, but a lot of this kind of supportive, communicative, reciprocal physical engagement where both of your bodies are working together to make the stretch work. So it's pretty intimate without a lecture about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the pieces of advice we give when people ask, you know, so how have you been together this long? What's your secret, right? Is get the sex right. And so it's kind of stunning at first to hear that. But what we really mean by that is when you do this right, it actually is undergirded by communication. Crystal clear communication with your partner, being in tune with them. And a lot of what we talked about in the group settings was, you know, communication, different ways to communicate. Here's some other tools you can put in your toolbox for facilitating communication. But if it's true that I think it's 80% of communication is actually nonverbal, then it's very important that we figure out how to leverage touch. And in that couples yoga setting, no words being said, the communication is totally coming from me just paying attention to my partner, mm-hmm. and feeling her breath, you know, as her back is to mine. And that's why I think it was so super connective. So ultimately, it's kind of another form of deep communication. Yes, that physical touch is super important, but it's only important if we're deeply connected kind of on that level and we're communicating what's working for you. And even as simple as a couple's yoga stretch or balance exercise, even in that, there is this communication. Are you okay? Are you about to fall? Can I support you?
Right.
And all of that happening without words, mm-hmm. which was beautiful.
We do say that a lot, actually, get the sex right, because I feel like there's something in that that speaks to the intimacy of a couple, that if you're not actively trying to pursue a healthy sex life, then it feels like you're missing something. And I know that may not be true for every couple, but I know that it's definitely been true for us, that in the moments where, you know, we've gotten busy and we've gotten away from it and we haven't had a chance to connect on that level, that everything seems to go wonky. And I think I speak for both of us when I say that we both get a little pissy with each other about stupid stuff, right? And sorry, I almost said a bad word, about stupid stuff. And
it wouldn't be the first time on this podcast.
I'm so glad I can be me. Anyway, we get a little angsty with each other. And then we find out, okay, well, it's been a while since we've connected emotionally, physically, in a sexual way. And once we do that, it feels like, oh, everything's right with the world again. And I really don't care if you take the trash out or not. It doesn't bother me so much now because everything's right with the world. And endorphins, aren't they amazing?
One of the sort of psychological words we might use for this is attunement. The sense in which you're tuned in and reading and paying attention to your partner, and that's reciprocal, goes both ways, that both of you are co-regulating or attuned together. And that's really what a retreat is. like it's a reset. It's a time out from the day to day. It's a time away from the business to a large extent. It's a time away from the kids. It's a time away from the day to day challenges of life to kind of hit the reset button a little bit and let everything else go and just sort of turn to your partner and be like, hey, I remember you. Like, I'm gonna pay attention to you and just you really for a couple days and let that attunement, that rhythm together reset.
I love that word. That's a great word. I'm gonna put that in my vocabulary now. Attunement. Yeah. I like it.
Were there things that the two of you learned or really walked away from the retreat with an intention to integrate something new into your lives, or besides dance it out, of course? any aha moments for you? I mean, I know you were hosting, so you were definitely in that supporting and serving role, but
I think it was Lindsay who said she brought the idea to be a little delusional. She said, you need to be a little delusional about your partner. Like happy couples who go the distance have this ingredient. And that is that they're just a little bit delusional about your partner, kind of focused on the great things about them and not so much the trivial things or even the things that kind of annoy us. So that was kind of stood out to my mind about, I think that's definitely something that we do as a practice is to call each other to the highest version of ourselves. I'm about helping Kay to kind of be the best version of herself. And that means going for her dreams and supporting her and her passions and her interests. And so to a large degree, I know that I am a little bit delusional about her and her me, definitely her me. So that kind of works both ways. I also really was challenged to hear kind of parts of the story you and Rob shared about your story and where you've come from, because I didn't have a knowledge of all of your background. And so it was great kind of hearing some of those insights that you guys shared. In particular, I think it was either Rob or you said, communicate and name your aspirations when you talked about kind of like we did once for with a vision board, but like really name and be clear about your aspirations, your big goals. And he just tossed this line out, like, what would you do with an extra $10,000 per month? And I wrote that down because that was a great kind of challenge to not be stuck in status quo. Things are running pretty well with the business right now. And so this was a reminder that we're together as a couple for a reason.
Right.
And part of that reason is to do something greater than I could do on my own, than Kay could do on her own. And so it's been a while since we kind of reached as a couple, like what's our stretch goal, right? Mm-hmm. So where do we want to be as a couple and as a family? So that kind of just challenged me to revisit this idea of a family vision and what is our purpose, what is our why, and kind of dig in deep about where we might be going and how to get there. So I found that to be really challenging.
I think it was interesting on the same note when he was sharing about that, it felt very integrative to me because I feel like over the past few years for us, we used to do this a lot more often than we have in the last few years, maybe. But I feel like in the last few years, we've had great vision for where do we want the business to go? Where do we want, you know, for homeschool, where do we want homeschooling to go? You know, what are our aspirations for that? But having kind of that integrative approach of, okay, where do we want all of this to go together? So how is the business supporting the family? How is the family supporting the business? And having that kind of linked outcome, if you will, was kind of a great aha moment for me to kind of get back to that and get back to thinking in those terms.
Yeah, Kay, both of you, I think this question of like, how well do you know your partner's dreams? And then how well do you dream and vision together? For Rob and I both, actually, the place where we've been most or best able to do that is when we're away together or when we're like on a road trip, which I guess is a different version of away together. But it's that extended time. It's a long conversation to sort of unpack like, hey, what would you do with $10,000 more a month? Like really, what would we do? Can we use that in a way that's like, should that be a goal or is that important? Is that a thing we should strive for? And if so, why? That those are sort of these maybe nonlinear brainstorming, open-ended conversations that just require extra time and space. And again, I think that's the value of a retreat is this opening to ask big questions that we don't always have time for in the day-to-day life.
Yeah, because let's be fair, staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning having chats about the deep things of life can only happen so often, right, honey?
We probably do that entirely too much, to be honest. But it is important, I think, then to just be intentional about pulling away and carving out that space to dive into what does this look like? What are we doing as a couple? Where are we going? And how am I supporting you? How's this working, right? Some of why we unpackage the 5 relationship principles that we talked about are they're kind of undergirded by that type of connection. But in order to really implement those types of principles in your day-to-day, you've got to pull away from the day-to-day and really have those conversations about what does this look like? How are we going to practice this? How are we going to communicate? What's the trigger? What's the trigger phrase or the catchphrase that lets me know we need to talk, right? And so by carving out some space in a retreat setting, you're here for one purpose, and that is to connect more deeply, to refresh our relationship, to kind of, you know, enjoy ourselves together, one of the activities around the grounds or something, and reconnect, and then to have those deeper conversations.
So many of the benefits of a retreat people can do on a weekend together as a couple with some careful intention and sort of deciding this is what we're going to do with this time. And I think for couples who don't do that regularly, at least once or twice a year, that can be pretty essential to just keeping those deeper communication things happening, keeping those connections really strong.
We sometimes just book a babysitter for the evening and then go check into a hotel literally down the road, yep, just for a change of scenery and to kind of carve out that space exactly for that. And, yeah, and so we do that probably a few times a year, actually.
Yeah, and just, yeah. And I think the word you used was intentional or intentionality. And I think that's a key part of it, right? Is going away with the purpose of chatting about how are we doing as a couple? How do we move forward? What are the things that we need to change? What are the things that we're doing really well? And just kind of reconnecting in a very intentional way. And I love that the retreat was a vehicle for that for a lot of people. But like you said, it doesn't necessarily take a retreat to do that. You can definitely do that in your backyard. It just is about using that intentionality in that way.
The added bonus of a retreat is that you have, again, this sense of new connection and ideas that you're bouncing off with other people. And you don't have to be quite as intentional. You can kind of show up and hope that your retreat guides will give you some content to interact with. Yeah. It's like a hosted experience where our job as hosts is to provide material, ideas, questions, frameworks. And, you know, you don't have to plan quite so much if you're going to a hosted event.
Sure, yeah.
And I think all of us that attended this retreat really walked away with new relationships, as well as that profound thing that we say a lot on this podcast is just this sense that you're not alone, which is one of the most important and profound ways to feel as humans, that the kinds of struggles that you're having as an entrepreneur in a couple, that those are not completely insurmountable, strange, unknown struggles, that those are struggles that other people share with you.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was one of the beautiful things that came out of this weekend was that whole, I'm not alone. I'm not doing this in a vacuum, that there's other people that know exactly what we're going through and can speak to that and can say, oh yeah, we went through that a couple of years ago and man, that was really difficult. And here's some of the tools that helped us, or, you know, oh, we didn't really get through that very well. Maybe we can brainstorm together about how to do it differently next time. But it definitely helps being in the same room with people that are all from a similar point of view, a similar experience, where, you know, we all have, you know, businesses and families that we're trying to run and coincide together and make them coexist and commingle. And so having other people there to chat with about how do you actually do that was, I think, really, really important.
Would you guys do it again?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. be on the lookout for couples retreat in the spring, maybe.
That'd be fun. We would love that.
Count us in.
All right. Well, thanks so much for talking with me. Any last parting words? Anybody want the last word?
No, that's yours.
Last word principle. Well, I had so much fun. Every time I get to hang out with you guys, I have fun. But it was really lovely to sort of be shoulder to shoulder in hosting this with you. And I absolutely could not have done it without you. And I'm so glad that you were there. And I think you brought so much value. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for doing this. And I'll see what else I could get you to do.
Sounds great, Sherry. We're in.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.